The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. We also welcome to the show Stevie Nicol is with us, as is Jana Agafjortov. There's only one place to start today, isn't there? And that's Old Trafford. Manchester United losing at home, missing the chance to go top of the table, defeated by bottom of the table, Sheffield United, registering just their second win of the season. Craig, how on earth did this happen?
Lots of possession, but really never troubled the Sheffield United goal that many times. Keeper didn't have to make that many saves. And I thought Sheffield United defended brilliantly. I mean, Phil Jagielka, 38, I think it is, rolled back the years big time. In recent games, he's gone back to the tried and trusted in midfield, which was Lundstrom, Fleck and Norwood. Those guys have been out the side for long parts of this season, and that was the fulcrum of their team last year. And I think Chris Wilder just said, I've got to go back to basics here. This was the Sheffield United we saw last year, scrapping and fighting and defending and then trying to feed off scraps at the other side. And United were sloppy. I mean, you look at the second goal, It was McBurnley, I think it was, who got the goal, and they had so much. Was it McBurnley?
Burke.
Thank you, boys. It was Burke.
Another jock. Another Scotsman.
Yeah. He had so much time in the box. On two occasions, there was Pogba and there was a couple of the players within 5 yards, and they looked at him. And they were sloppy. So when Fernandes doesn't have a sparkling game, or Rashford doesn't have a sparkling game, this United side just lacks the guile that we saw from Manchester City yesterday.
How do you explain that defending for the second goal, Steve? It was really weird.
Well, I think in some ways when you play against a team like Sheffield United, who are bottom of the league, you've pegged them back and you kind of think it's just going to happen. You're just going to go on and get the winner. And so you drop certainly a level of intensity, because as far as quality, it wasn't really there for United. But the intensity was there to get the equaliser. And I think once they did that, there was just a little drop. And that's what happens, you know. Nobody takes the initiative. Nobody, you know, certainly usually when somebody has the ball at their feet in the box, you're expecting not just one, but two defenders to be going and either throwing their body in the line or just making a good solid challenge or get close enough. That didn't happen, and that to me is down to just, they just took it a little bit easy after they got the equaliser, thinking that all they had to do was just see it out and they were going to score.
Yeah, and did we see today why Manchester United won't win the title?
Well, that was my tip to win the league, but Craig was talking about it. They had fantastic possession, but Manchester United can't handle possession. And that's the problem. You go from beating Liverpool, when Liverpool kind of had initiative, they went up and then scored. But I will also will respect Sheffield United for their performance. I mean, you could say they deserve to win that game, because in the second half, there should be a pressure from Manchester United. They're putting Cavani on. They should make all kind of effort to get that at least an equaliser. It didn't happen. I can't remember that a Sheffield United goalkeeper had to make any big saves, any big interceptions. Sometimes it came for crosses. So I think that was Manchester United losing on a dreadful day of Manchester United, with some players in there like Martial. His body language is not even Europa League. It's down there in going down in the Championship. I can't believe how he sometimes goes along on the pitch.
No, I was sent to you. Go on, Stevie.
This is nothing new, by the way, for Manchester United at home. We've seen performance after performance like this. You know, even recently, Burnley, they somehow scrape a 1-1-0. The same against Wolves. Even Aston Villa, they win 2-1 against Villa, and how Villa don't get a point at least, I'm not so sure. And then you think about them away from home. They've got this incredible run away from home, but they always end up going behind. And so when you're going behind away from home and you're at home and you're not creating, these things catch up with you. I mean, honestly, I actually thought at one stage in the second half, I was watching Liverpool right now because they didn't look as though they were doing anything going forward and they looked vulnerable defensively. So this isn't... Nobody would put money on Sheffield United winning this game before the game started. That's the truth. But is it a complete shock considering how United have been at home? It's not.
I've been saying this for a while. I don't think they will, but Man United may win the league this year, right? It might happen.
Why?
What do you mean?
Why do you think they're going to win the league of what we just saw?
No, we've just talked about it, they can't win at home. I said, I personally don't think they will, and I've been steadfast
in that. So why
did
you say? You can say they're not going to win the league.
Right, I personally don't think they'll win the league, right? There is an outside chance that them and Leicester might, if Liverpool don't pick up and Man City have even more problems than they've got at the moment with no Aguero, no De Bruyne. I don't think it's likely looking at the two teams. However, I've been saying it for a while now, Manchester United are not a great side. And I think Stevie just sort of summarised that in terms of their performance. They're not a great side, but they've been getting some great results, particularly away from home. But a bit... like the opposite from yesterday, from Liverpool, they're going to have to clean up their away form, their home form. Like Liverpool were going to have to clean up their away form to even have a sniff. But that's two goals... I was saying to you, they've only lost two goals... or Sheffield United have only scored two goals on two occasions in a Premier League game this year, and they're both against Manchester United at Sheffield and at Old Trafford. Now, the pressure has been cranked up massively by Leicester's form, but more so by Man City's form, which has been incredible. We saw it yesterday, the destruction of teams in the relegation zone. And so, in moments like this, you have to ask yourself a question, albeit a relegation team, do I pick my strongest team, yes or no? And the answer has been a resounding for Solskjaer. No, he didn't. Right. He didn't pick his strongest team. He's taken a risk at a time when they're under the most pressure. His City have gone top. And Jan, they falter today, and yet Luke Shaw has been... And OK, some players might need a rest, but... You know, we're really in the trenches now because teams are piling the pressure on and teams are going on runs. And so I might be a bit tired, but do you leave out Lindelof and do you leave out Luke Shaw and maybe Fred and McTominay and others who have been superb and I take a chance against a team who have been struggling and it doesn't pay off? That was a big risk to take, I think, bearing in mind what City did yesterday.
Yeah.
A risk Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has done now for a long period of time. And it's true. If you always come 1-0 behind, away from home, at home he's done it as well and hasn't succeeded in coming back to the game. So, sometimes it was pile up. That is quite clear. But I think sometimes we so-called experts do it a bit easy. Now we do I call it the Zinedine Zidane thing that we always do. When he win games, we say it's because he leaves the stars alone. If he loses, it's because he doesn't talk to the stars. So I think that the way we're doing it now is quite too easy. He has rotated a team before. He's playing Arsenal in the weekend, in the next game, away from home. It's normal that you rest some of the players. I mean, there were enough players out there today that they should hammer Sheffield United. And I think that the easy thing is that what they lack of being that top team is that they can't handle the possession. They're not good enough in doing that. And I think that is what will hold them back from winning the league if they're going to go all the way. But remember, we're just halfway into the season and you have to do something about that or I think we'll go very much slower for Manchester United because that luck you can't have all the time. You can call it moral to always bounce back, but you can also say that you're not good enough if you always go 1-0 down.
Solskjaer was critical of the referee after the game, saying that Sheffield United's opening goal shouldn't have stood because of a foul on David De Gea, and then the goal at the other end in the first half that was cancelled out should have stood. because there was no foul on the goalkeeper.
By Maguire?
Mm-hmm.
OK, I think there was a little contact from Billy Sharp, but I think, and my honest opinion is that David De Gea was weak, right, in his own six-yard box, weak. Never got off the ground, even before there was contact. Never looked like getting off the ground. At the other end, I think the difference is, and my analysis would be, that Harry Maguire jumped into the goalkeeper.
Right.
And that's the difference. Billy Sharp didn't even leave the ground. Harry Maguire jumped into the goalkeeper. Let me tell you about the United goal that came about. It came about from a corner kick, that came about from a free kick that should never have been given because the referee played an advantage and Paul Pogba took a shot with no pressure and smashed it over the bar. We reached out to Peter Walton, who seems to have gone on the missing list, our old colleague, the former Premier League referee, and said, should that have been brought back for a retake for a free kick once Pogba has taken that strike? And he said, no, you should not have two bites of the cherry. So I really don't think Solskjaer's got anything to moan about, if I'm being frank.
Stevie?
Sheffield United shouldn't have been given that goal. It's absolutely a free kick on De Gea. Yeah, it's Billy Sharp. He gets a little tickle from Matic, but he just barrels into the back of De Gea. You can say he should have been stronger, but the truth is, Billy Sharp absolutely impedes him. So I think the ref got that wrong. And there's no question Harry Maguire jumps into the goalkeeper, Ramsdale. It's pretty obvious. So I don't know what all he's going on about with that one. But I certainly would have disallowed Sheffield United's. I thought it was a foul.
Well, the referee
on David De Gea.
Well, the referee and VAR looked at it, Steve, because as you know, every goal is looked at.
Yep. No, I know. I saw that. I still don't understand how they don't see Billy Sharp. Billy Sharp ends up 4 yards, 5 yards from Matic, who gives him a little tickle, and somehow it ends up barreling into the back of De Gea. I don't understand how they don't see that VAR.
Yeah,
I think it's a combination of Billy Sharp being the fox that he is. He's been around for a long time. He knows all the tricks that he should do with the goalkeepers. Having said that, I think David De Gea didn't do well at that situation. And I think that they were punished for that. And I think that could stand. So I will stay with the goal.
Stevie's just trying to appease some Man United fans now.
Let me tell you. I was delighted. Don't get me wrong. I was delighted. I just thought it was a foul.
I actually wasn't supposed to be in today.
Neither
Stevie.
Of you two were supposed to be on
we
today.
We weren't supposed
you?
To be on today. You arrived, no. But we saw United lost, and so we decided.
Stop saying United. Stop saying
Please,
United.
Can I come on.
Sheffield United. Sheffield United.
Go on,
stop
yeah.
saying United.
Yeah. Sheffield.
When Sheffield United.
Man United.
Yeah, but, Sheffield United yeah. founded their
yeah.
club.
Because when you see United.
In people's heads,
when
they
you say
think,
United, you automatically oh think you're Sheffield United, of course.
What a mess.
Of course you should.
Oh, it's just bloody delay. Fade them down, those two.
I remind you that it will be Craig and Jan answering your questions on Extra Time.
There is people
today.
That think that, you know, isn't there?
Well, there are people
well,
who think
I've got
that,
in the yeah. car.
Sheffield
like,
United.
Yes. Stop saying Sheffield United, Jan. Check out Extra Time over on our YouTube channel. Thomas Tuchel's first game in charge of Chelsea would end 0-0 at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea 0, Wolves 0 is how it finished. Oh, this wasn't very good.
Well, if it was a passing at square competition, then Chelsea have won the league because it was sort of one of those performances. But, Tuchel just in the door, literally can do nothing apart from, I think it was reported, watched a few tapes.
Right.
Obviously, he knows the players anyway. But watched some recent tapes, decided on a team. Changed the shape, played a three at the back, brought Azpilicueta back in as a right-sided centre-back, which arguably had his best ever season in that position for Chelsea under Antonio Conte. Had Hudson-Odoi at wing-back, which is the first time I think he's played there. That allowed Ziyech and Havertz to play a little narrower. And he looked to try and do something there, but Wolves just played. Wolves have been having a tough season, right? They've lost some of the key players. They've started to change the shape of their team, although they went back to old school back three in this game. But I'm getting fed up watching teams just with just over 20% possession in Premier League games.
Right.
And it's not. This is not because it's Chelsea, right? Because I've seen a lot of teams doing it, and Wolves are a good set, a decent side. They're having a troublesome season, but it's just off-putting. And then you're asking the question of, Chelsea, can they break you down? And they were a bit ponderous at times, and the final ball wasn't right, and it's difficult to break down. And it was all a bit frustrating for them. And yeah, I mean, he's not going to learn a lot from that, but he's in the door, he's off and running, and now he gets to work with the players for a few more days.
He went a lot with the kind of the veterans of the side, Stevie. What was his thinking there?
Just pretty much what everybody was saying, to be honest, that, you know, they're in a tough spot, and rather than go with youth, he's going to go with people that have kind of been through the ringer, who will step on the field, and kind of, he knows pretty much what he's going to get from them, and he's going to put his eggs in the basket of the likes of Zajic and Havertz further forward up the field. That's pretty much the way he was thinking. Listen, Chelsea went about it the right way. They did all the things that they haven't done recently, which is, you know, closing the ball down. You know, they were moving it pretty quickly. They had some lovely passing. Unfortunately, it was all in the middle of the field. It was really sharp and incisive in the middle of the field, but as soon as it got 25, 30 yards for goal, then it just it didn't work. They were just completely blunt. But I guess you can't fix it in one game and one training session, but he certainly got a lot of work to do as far as creating and scoring goals, because they looked as though they'd be there all day and not managed to get either.
Yeah, and the reaction over the last couple of days from the boys on the show and also from Chelsea fans has been rather tepid regarding the appointment of Tuchel. I know you're his, one of his best friends.
No, not one of his best friends, but I rate him very much as a coach. He's been developing from his days in Mainz over Dortmund, over PSG, and now Chelsea. I mean, it's normal when Frank Lampard, who is a living legend at Chelsea, there's no patience in the game anymore. But I think we know that 2017 he was already to an interview by Chelsea, and now Thomas Tuchel, he was available for them, and that was not good timing for Frank Lampard, and he was the best manager available at the moment. I think, to look away from Frank Lampard, I think that Chelsea have got one of the best coaches around, and he will do very well for them. And sometimes we talk, he's so difficult, he's this and he's that. I mean, there were stories all around in Dortmund that, but he was doing quite good in Dortmund, and they say, yeah, he didn't win the league. Nobody wins the league outside the Bayern camp, so nothing to do with that. He's developing. I think they've got himself a good coach. I also think that the way he went today, he went safe. He went with experienced players. But I think that the way he plays, it was actually good news for the young kids at Chelsea, because he will love his energy. He will love them to close down. He will love them to be all over the pitch. And some of these kids, like Mount, for example, that I rate very highly, they will get enough playing time. I think they could be key players for the Thomas Tuchel of his Chelsea team.
The Premier League, of course, continues in style on Thursday. What a game we've got for you. It's Tottenham against Liverpool. Liverpool go into this tie as slight favourites, despite their poor run of form of late. We asked our boys for predictions. Stevie's going for a draw. Stevie, you're the only one out of the three that isn't going for a Liverpool win. Is this some sort of double bluff?
No, listen, there's half a chance that Matic will be back. And if it's Matic and Fabinho, can they really take care of Son and Harry Kane? I'm not so sure. And if Matic's not back, then who is it? So I just don't see Liverpool keeping a clean sheet. That's why I've gone for a draw.
But you do see them scoring goals?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Craig, you're all,
he's definitely trying to do something with Man United fans, isn't he? He's
like, what do you
he's even got, he's even going against Liverpool a little bit now. I mean, he's I mean that defence is worrisome, isn't it?
And but you've got to keep it a clean sheet against Son and Kane.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's worrisome, but I think they can do it. I mean, the young lad made, you know, if you look at the United goals the other day, it was a free kick that Alisson should have saved. His position was wrong. And then the young lad made a mistake for the other one. Fabinho's been mopping up pretty well. We know Liverpool will dominate the game because that's the way Tottenham play. It's whether they can thwart that counter-attack. And I'm hedging my bets that at some point they're going to put a little bit of a roll together. Liverpool because they can see the title race is, they can't give up on it, is what I'm saying. They're more than good enough to get back in it if they can get players back and two, cut out the mistakes. They look more likely against United in terms of their goals again, so that was a plus for them. So I'm going for them to start a little bit of momentum with a win away from home,
Jan, you've got more confidence in Liverpool than anyone.
Yeah, because Stevie got on a charming course against Manchester. What's next? That Oasis is better than the Beatles. It's unbelievable what's going on tonight. Yes, I think what is interesting with Liverpool at the moment, we all just wait for them to put together 3, 4, 5, 6 games. I followed Jurgen Klopp for many, many years when I worked with him in Germany. And Klopp always has a 90% very, very charming. And then he has 10% pukoloko. Some ways he's managed to hide that here in England. We remember losing his hat or his glasses and he's doing all kind of stuff on a pitch side. But I think that this is like a make or break position now for Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp, because if they start losing now, if they get more and more points behind Manchester City, it's quite interesting how things will develop even at Liverpool, even at the strong structure that Liverpool got at the moment. So I think tomorrow is a key game, and I think that Liverpool can take this because this is a make or break game for them.
What a game it is going to be, and of course it will be our main talking point on the next edition of the show. Be sure to join us.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
The Premier League confirmed that if Bernardo Silva's goal was scored this week, or indeed beyond, it would now be disallowed. It was, of course, a big talking point in City's opener against Aston Villa because of Rodri coming from an offside position to take the ball because he influenced the ball being given away. Now that is it. What do you think of them coming out and saying this, Craig?
Well, I agree that what they're saying now is that Rodri cannot be the first player. Rodri can't engage the ball, basically. You can see Dean Smith having a right pop at the officials. But because he was so far in an offside position, he came back and engaged Tyrone Mings, put him under pressure, ball drops to Silva, they score. What they're saying is they're readdressing, they're not making a change. They're not making a change in writing, they're making a change in interpretation.
Right.
And what they're saying is that Rodri cannot now engage the ball. It has to be a City player from an onside possession, which is common sense. But if it's common sense, why are these people not having this thought process previously before a ball's even kicked? And it just baffles me that we have to get to scenarios like this for officials, FIFA officials and leagues that are worth billions. It has to take a moment like this for them to go, oh, that's not right.
Stevie, what do you think about them making the change halfway through the season?
I have no problem with them making a change because if it's wrong, it's wrong. And why would you not change it as quickly as you possibly can? The problem I do have is that they haven't gone far enough. So basically what they're saying is if Tyrone Mings had miscontrolled that and it had gone behind him, then Roddy would have been played on. Now, why didn't they get rid of that? Because that's not right either. Listen, there's not a defender, a proper defender alive, who when a ball is crossed in the box, for example, he sees a guy standing 2 yards beside him offside. There's not a defender alive who's just going to just stand off and let it go. Every defender worth his salt is going to try and clear it. Now, some defenders are better than others. So a guy who makes a bad clearance accidentally puts it to the guy standing who could be smoking a cigarette and having a cup of tea in the 6-yard box, and that puts him on. That's madness as well. So they could have gone the whole hog and just said, look, unless a defender on purpose either heads it to the guy, passes it straight to him, but or uses any part of his body that he's allowed to and actually plays him in, then that should be the only way. Otherwise, blow the whistle, he's offside, and then that's the end of it.
Jan?
Well, I'm a son of a football referee, so you can imagine what I've been going through all my childhood. I agree with the boys. There is one term called common sense, and if it's wrong, it should be corrected also during the season. What annoys me is that if you see that situation, if you have that common sense, if you understand football, you will know straight away what to do. Mm. And sometimes you have to ask the referees of this world, where in your book of rules stands you can't use that common sense. You can't always find a rule. You just have to read the game. And sometimes I think they're lacking in our game. And we've been talking for ages about the handball and offside and all that kind of things. But that common sense thing, there are so many situations that can be solved. And the best referees do and the weaker referees don't. And my father was a good referee. Gave me a yellow card 2 times.
Meanwhile, Arsenal confirmed Martin Odegaard.
Have you said that correctly?
Yeah, has made that loan move to the Gunners, moving from Real Madrid. Jan, of course, a player you know well. If he's so good, why did Real Madrid let him go out on loan?
Well, it's a good question. And maybe he should have stayed. He was on loan in Holland. He was on loan in Real Sociedad. He did very well for them. But then he was told, he's owned by Real Madrid this summer, come back, we'll give you the chance. And from different reasons, that didn't work out for him. What I can tell you, I've known this kid since he was 15. We were sitting in my living room when he was going through the clubs that he wanted to go to. He had 4 clubs then at the end. And Arsenal was definitely one of them. So he's back with one of the clubs that he wanted to play for. Will he be a Real Madrid player in the future? I don't know. I think this is a good chance for him to show himself. He knows that Arteta wants him. At that time, also Pep Guardiola wanted him desperately. So I think that he's been advised as well there. But it's all up to the kid. It's going to be tough for him to get into that Arsenal team as well.
What's his best position, Jan?
Well, I think his best position is that when he comes from right, with his left foot, and he comes in from right, and then take people on with his left foot, and he can kind of be in the and go through and be a leader on the pitch from that side. But I think the way Arsenal playing at the moment, there are different positions he can't play, and then we'll see where Arteta plans to do it. One of the reasons Martin Odegaard went to Arsenal was that Arteta desperately wanted him, and that's always a good start when you're going to sign for a new club.
For more on Martin Odegaard and his successful spell at Real Sociedad, be sure to check out Sid Lowe's article over on the website. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. What a game, of course, it was between Inter and AC Milan, as you would expect. Dominates the headlines today in Italy. Gazzetta going Eriksen magic, Ibra Lukaku brawl. Meanwhile, Corriere dello Sport saying Ibra Lukaku shameful. Tutto Sport saying Inter powered by rage. Meanwhile, Zlatan Ibrahimovic took to Twitter after accusations of using racist language in that game, saying, in Zlatan's world, there is no place to racism. We are all the same race. We are all equal. We are all players, some better than others. Let's welcome in, shall we, Gab Marcotti. Gab, what's been the fallout been from that incident?
Well, as you can imagine, Dan, everybody was left kind of shocked by what happened, especially Lukaku's reaction, because Lukaku, nobody's ever seen him react in that way. On the other hand, people were all too familiar with Zlatan trying to wind up defenders and getting in people's faces. So the assumption was when we saw him react so intensely, so emotionally, and you know, with such serious words going back and forth, that Zlatan must have said something that was racist or really offensive. Obviously, Zlatan has come out and denied that. I think there is there were enough English speakers on the pitch in and around them, and I think, you know, both Milan as a club on the one hand and Lukaku personally on the other, both have been in the front lines and in sort of the battle against racism, that if they felt they'd been racially abused, I think by now they would have spoken up about that. Everybody speculated on what was said, but, you know, the fact is we have video pictures. It was an empty stadium. You can hear the audio fairly cleanly. So, you know, people are familiar with what was said. What's not entirely clear is, you know, what goes forward from here. The Italian FA have opened an inquiry. Obviously, Zlatan has denied being a racist, saying anything racist. Pogba has weighed in as well, you know, sort of not taking Zlatan's side because he's close to both, but simply saying, like, there's no way this guy said something racist. So I think that part, you know, we will find out, I guess, is the short answer there. And I think we're already finding out. Beyond that, there were people who said, look, you know, this is what a derby should be about, people getting into each other's faces. Insults fly on the pitch all the time. And, you know, this is a red-blooded encounter. We've seen situations like this before, like I said, just not with Lukaku.
Away from that, the big story, Christian Eriksen, the hero, Gab, a year after joining Inter, finally he has something to celebrate in Italy. Antonio Conte, after the game, saying he's not going anywhere. Is that it? Is that done then?
He's not going anywhere because nobody will take his enormous wages and pay Inter a transfer fee. That's why he's not going anywhere. Conte also came out and said, you know, again, for the 10 millionth time, well, he's a fantastic player, but, you know, I wish he was less timid. I wish he was more full-blooded, blah, blah, blah. And I wish he was more intense. It's almost like Conte's this obsession with machismo out there. And, you know, we saw where that gets you. In the Lukaku and Ibrahimovic incident. So, look, Eriksen's there. Conte would be a fool not to use him, and he's whatever he is, he's not a fool. So, obviously, gave him a shot, and Eriksen can take free kicks. Now, there's talk of playing him in the Brozovic position, you know, when Brozovic isn't there. But I think there's little question that Eriksen hasn't worked out the way Inter hoped. So now they have no real choice, but they have to try to salvage the situation.
Gab, we got you on. Just away from that game, interesting stuff from Agnelli, the Juventus president, pretty much dismissing now any sort of, well, for the short term, certainly, Super League.
I didn't quite read it that way. I think Andrea Agnelli has to be very careful what he says. Not only is he very close to the UEFA president, Alexander Čeferin, but, of course, he's also on the UEFA board, but then, of course, he's also the president of the European Clubs Association, who are negotiating this new TV deal. And if they want to have leverage, then threats of a breakaway Super League or some sort of major reorganization, we're already going to have a reorganization in the format with the so-called Swiss model, rather replacing the group stage. So I think he's kind of walking a line there, you know, with the two hats that he wears. And, you know, I found his words to be somewhat ambivalent in those terms.
Okay, well, for a lot more on that, discussing the Swiss way of things, you can check out the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which drops on Thursday. Meanwhile, for a lot more discussion on the fallout of that Milan derby, be sure to download the latest edition of the Serie Awesome podcast.
passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ali Moreno with us then to reflect on that win for Barcelona. They were made to work hard for it, Ali, but deserved in the end?
Yes, it was deserved from Barcelona. They were far the superior team. They hit the post three times. It's just, you don't really need this drama. We spoke after the Elche match that was drama-less. This is unnecessary drama today. You were the better team. You were creating opportunities. You don't take advantage of those opportunities. And then because of your own fragility in the back, because of your own failures to clear the ball when you need to clear, now all of a sudden you find yourself in a 1-0 situation and Rayo Vallecano with some momentum. But then three substitutions came in. Ronald Koeman puts in Pedri, puts in Jordi Alba. And I think that's a substitution that really made the difference, that Jordi Alba being an option down the left-hand side, much more comfortable making those runs in behind than Junior Firpo ever will be. And once he puts himself in that sort of position, then he makes Barcelona a lot more dangerous. And of course, we go back to the same conversation we've been having over the last 3 weeks or so, that the most important player for Barcelona right now, aside from Lionel Messi, it has to be Frankie de Jong.
Yeah.
He is the one that plays this through ball to Antoine Griezmann in behind for that 1-1 when Griezmann then finds Lionel Messi. And it is Frankie de Jong that gives you that additional option in the 18-yard box, because you don't have a number nine. You have a bunch of false nines. He has been the guy who has taken sort of the leadership role in being the presence inside the 18-yard box and continues to score important goals for Barcelona.
You mentioned Messi, of course, first game back after that suspension. Ali, how did he look?
It's impossible to not look at Messi and say, well, he scored a goal, and really he is the one that plays the ball over the top to Jordi Alba that eventually was a goal for Frankie de Jong, not say, you know, he's just critical for the success of Barcelona. Of course he is. But today, and really I would say in the Athletic Bilbao game as well, in the Supercopa last time we saw him, it's a lot of running with the ball and a lot of unnecessary turnovers, a lot of dribbling, a lot of sort of overdoing things, perhaps because he thinks he has to do it all. I'm not quite going to give him a pass, because I do think that there were moments today in which he could have released the ball a lot earlier, in which he could have finished a play that he didn't finish, in which he could have taken an opportunity that he didn't take. But when you look at the key moments and the key plays in the game, he still has to participate. And when he gets it right, more times than not, Barcelona is going to benefit from it. It was an okay match from Lionel Messi, first time back since that Athletic Bilbao game. He wasn't great, but obviously a difference maker for this team.
What's on your T-shirt, Ali? What's that?
This right here, this is a Spartan, baby. UNC Greensboro. Let's go, G.
Ali Moreno.
That's where I went to school, Dan.
Ali Moreno and your Spartan ways. Thank you very much. Just a reminder then, the Copa del Rey continues tomorrow. Navacanero taking on Granada. That's at 1 p.m. Eastern. Followed by Alcoyano, of course, the team that knocked out Real Madrid against Athletic Bilbao. Both those games live here on Plus. That's it. That brings us to the end of today's
show. What a show.
Be sure to stay tuned. Extra time is next. Quite the argument between Jan and Craig. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. I was supposed to be on my own again today. However, Manchester United's 2-1 defeat at Old Trafford saw Craig hopping it into the studio.
just a quick shower.
You didn't have a shave.
Didn't have a steam time for a shave, look. Said to the wife, get the car running, get the de-icer on, because a bit of snow here. I'm heading in. She said, the roads are dangerous. I said, don't matter.
Doesn't matter.
United have lost.
That's it.
I'm going to the studio today.
Here I come. Craig, what would you like to say to those Manchester United fans who are all over you?
People believe that, don't they?
Probably.
My United fans all over me. Nobody's all over me. I am steadfast in my opinion of what I think will happen this season. And I'm not one to get carried away. So listen, and I'm also not getting carried away with the fact that it's a defeat, because they can turn that around again. I just think there are better teams, at least one, probably two, in the Premier League this year. And I think a lot of people have got carried away with United so far. And yeah, that was a bad... I mean, I didn't see it coming, to be fair, but it was a bad... It was a bad performance and a really, really good one from Sheffield United.
Leads us to... Craig, can you please take the opportunity to remind the Manchester United fans that their team is not even close to Manchester City's? City have got Sheffield United this weekend, isn't it? So that's kind of an interesting kind of...
Yeah, who now are emboldened, Sheffield United, by thinking... I think it's 10 points to safety, or thereabouts.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So they're now emboldened by saying... Oh, we can, you know, in the dressing room, that's what Chris Wilder was saying. We can do it. I mean, even though if most people believe it's not going to happen, because that's a big gap, they will, off the back of that. But yeah, I mean, I think when you look at City and what they have, even without De Bruyne and Aguero and with Jesus on the bench, it's a stark contrast to where United are, and that's just where we are.
Ollie mucked up today, didn't he, Jan? All those rotations. You got to start Cavani, even though you got a game at the weekend as well.
Well, it's easy to be very wise after every game, and that's why they pay Craig for. But no, Craig has been very steady in his analyse of Manchester United, and I do think that he made some fair points. Today, there was a ball possession of 75% at Manchester United, but they couldn't handle that possession. They didn't know what to do with the ball. And I must say, I respect Sheffield United. And as Craig said, I mean, imagine Chris can go into the dressing room and say, boys, some games left this season, but if we won at Old Trafford, we can win against any team, you know, maybe except Manchester City coming up this weekend. So it's not over till it's over.
But the only thing I pointed out yesterday, and everybody's been trying to get me to fall off my bike, including you, by this wrong about Solskjaer every week.
Yeah.
But the one thing I pointed out yesterday, yeah, the usual sort of, I know Jan wasn't on, and I was trying to point this out to United fans to try and get them to slow down, was the correlation with Liverpool in 2013-14 when the streamers and the pyrotechnics were out and the open top boss with three games left, just won at Carrow Road, the title was theirs, and they blew it. And yet, here we have a United side that, since Ferguson left, have been pretty much way off the pace. And all of a sudden, halfway through the season, people have got them as the greatest manager in the Champions League. And I'm just saying, slow down a little
bit. I suppose it's not quite to that extreme, but just the fact that they're in a title race, that they're up there, that they're competing. That's what United fans are excited about, aren't they?
What?
That they're there.
Go on, Jan.
Yeah, but the argument Craig is doing is like, when you try to bully Norwegians like me, who has said that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the greatest manager of all time? But try to respect the results when they're up there. If you're top of the league, you had a quite good run. And I mean, you can talk about this and that. I mean, there have been so many managers after David Moyes failed. Then you brought in Van Gaal, one of the best European coaches of all time. Jose Mourinho winning trophies for fun all his career. And then when Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is top of the league, we have to remind people that he's not the greatest manager in the world. Who said that? Can you find me one who said Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was the greatest manager of the world?
Well, I can find you a couple of thousand of them every time I switch my phone.
And by the way,
David Moyes didn't fail at Man United. He was thrown out after 7 months.
Oh, just because he's Scottish. That's
not even given he wasn't even given a chance. No, I've always said, I'm not saying Solskjaer is the worst, but I'm just saying, I've always said, I don't think he's the man to manage this football club long term. That's all I've been saying.
Who is the manager to manage them? They have tried everything. They tried a copy of Ferguson. They tried old experienced manager. They tried Jose Mourinho. Now they got a pupil of Solskjaer. Who's next, Craig? Tell me, who's next?
Don't know who's next. Was it Pochettino's just got to PSG? Is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer manager of Manchester United because of his managerial pedigree or because he was a player for Man United?
So Frank Lampard was the manager of Chelsea.
Frank Lampard sacked. He's gone. He's gone.
Okay. Okay, so now your argument, on Monday we could have this discussion, but we couldn't have it today. Craig. Interesting strategy.
No. I never anointed Frank Lampard as the man for the job, right? He was given an opportunity. I wasn't saying he was the best man out there for the job. They gave him a chance. They took a punt. He wasn't managing for 10 years like Solskjaer.
Pep Guardiola got the job at Barcelona because he was so experienced all over the world. Now, please, come on.
So we're
use
now.
Your argument.
All right, so you're now putting Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Pep Guardiola in the same. I mean, yesterday we tried to put Frank Lampard and Jurgen Klopp in the same thing. He's Norwegian, you're sticking up for him. I understand.
No, Craig, don't go in your own traps just supporting the British culture.
Listen.
What I want to say, if you listen to me for 2 seconds, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer had more experience when he took over Manchester United than Pep Guardiola had at the start at a very, very successful time at Barcelona FC. Fact, not fact.
Yep. So we're now he's now in the same sentence as Guardiola. That's what you're trying to tell me.
That is a bullying way of arguing.
I'm not arguing with you. I never brought up Pep Guardiola, you did.
I just taken out the point that if you use that point, if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the manager of Manchester United and he's top of the league and the people before him was great, great managers, was Moyes, it was Van Gaal and Mourinho. And then if you have a go and Solskjaer should go or that, maybe he should go. I'm not talking about that. But tell me, what's the next profile of the next manager? Pochettino, the trophy-winning maestro from Argentina?
Let's get one thing straight here, Jan. Right. In the previous three seasons, Manchester United would have been nowhere near the top of the league, right? Liverpool and City have fallen off their perch to some extent, and that's allowed others like United and like Leicester City to get in the hunt. United are not all of a sudden a great side. So it's not all of a sudden, he's not turned United around to a team that's been going to be getting 97 or 98 points like City and Liverpool. That was great, they were great teams. He's so far taken advantage of the other two falling off their perch, particularly
Liverpool.
But that's
sport, Craig. That is sport.
Yes, I understand that, but does it make him a great manager?
But you can win the 100 metre at the Olympics if there are two sick in the morning. So,
yeah,
I mean,
I understand
what can
that.
You
doesn't
do?
Make you a great sprinter.
You won the Olympics.
I get it. Listen, he's sticking up for his mate. I understand.
No. You don't understand it. That is an alternative argument for you.
It's
because
not.
You are, without knowing it, you're arguing against yourself. Because
well,
you
not.
Don't... What's the next profile of the Manchester United manager? Tell me. Send me a fact.
Well, I want one with a better managerial pedigree than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Right. That's the next Man United manager. One who's more progressive and has a CV to fall back on. That's just my opinion. I mean, if they win the league, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I respect your opinion,
but don't say I'm sticking up for my mate. Just respect my opinion as well. They've tried everything.
All right.
What's left?
So, in your opinion, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was the best man for the job at Man United?
At the time when they play at the end of Manchester United, they needed something fresh. They took on a former legend, which a lot of clubs do. I mean, you know that. A lot
yes.
of clubs will bring in someone to quiet the fan, to get some passion into the game again. Then, quite coincidentally, he's winning 7 or 8 games in a row. They're winning in Paris and they have to give him the job. Fair enough. But if you say that they don't have the progress, that is also fair to say. But what's next? Which manager should they take now? Who is available?
David Moyes is doing well at West Ham.
Well, Thomas Tuchel was available up until he took the Chelsea job, and you've just talked him up in the show. I mean,
Manchester United should fire Solskjaer when it was.
No, you just said to me who's who's available. I mean, you said Craig, who's available, and I said up until 30 hours ago, Thomas Tuchel was available.
Who should it go for now? I said who should it go for now?
Oh, now you've got him sacked. I won't change my mind on this.
But if Solskjaer,
why should you change your mind?
No,
if Solskjaer wins the league, you are wrong. You are wrong.
No.
Yes.
No.
You've got yes.
No.
Well,
trust me.
Trust me, I'm right.
Craig.
Trust me.
Craig is arguing against himself.
Listen. Claudio Ranieri won the league at Leicester.
Brilliant.
Does that make him a great manager?
Great manager.
Yeah, of course.
Great manager.
That's a great.
So where is he? How come he goes from pillar to post?
Well, because
how come he goes in, gets sacked? How come?
So are you alluding to the fact that anyone could have done that at Leicester?
Well, not anyone.
Well, exactly. Does that
constitutes a great manager?
Yes.
Really?
Winning
of course
the league
it is. If you win the Premier League, you're a great manager.
So, Celtic are talking about sacking Neil Lennon at the moment. He's won leagues and trebles. Does that make him a great manager? It's about leagues now.
Winning with Celtic. What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
Right.
You're just saying to me, you're defining it by winning a league, and I'm just telling you.
And then you brought up the Scottish Premiership.
Well, that's winning a league.
So him winning a treble in Scotland is on the same level as Ranieri winning the title with Leicester.
I don't know, is it?
No, it's not. You know it's not.
Craig, if you today, with your performance in the studio, were the Manchester United manager, Ed Woodward would have called you tonight.
Ed Woodward hasn't got the balls to call me or anybody else. Oh my God. That's the only reason Solskjaer's still in the job, Jan. By the way, I agree with you. He was the right choice when Mourinho got fired to go in there as interim manager. Absolutely, it was the right thing to do, to go in.
Thank you.
To have a happy face, go in, have a good guy, he's going to put his arm around, make everybody happy, get results. That was the correct thing to do. I have no problem with that. I've just have doubts, still, that it was the right move long term. That's all I've ever said.
Well, that is fair enough, but if you end up in a discussion about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to compare Neil Lennon at Celtic with Ranieri, who has made the biggest miracle of international football since
and then he got sacked 6 months later, because it doesn't make you a great manager. You can have great moments,
but everyone gets sacked. That's life, isn't it? That's life as a manager. That's what happens.
Yeah, but not every year or 18 months or whatever it is, which, you know.
Politicians and manager will always get the sack.
Yeah, but not every 18 months. This is too long. Right? Man United have lost today. I'm off tomorrow. I mean, I've came in specially for this.
OK, let's rattle through these. Arsenal's chances of beating Manchester United. Who would you pick right now to win that game?
I'll pick Man United, probably.
United.
It's away from home, isn't it?
So, no idea.
Well, tell me then. I'm basing this on where it is.
Okay.
Yeah, because Arsenal beat them at Old Trafford early in the season. So it's at the Emirates.
Yep.
You ask me a question, I'm going to answer it.
Yeah, well, do it quickly.
Man United on the road.
Will Sheffield United escape the drop, Jan?
Yes.
Yes, 10 points they are from safety.
He's not going to talk to me now.
They will make the great escape. Chris Houdini Wilder, he will make it. But having said that, on a serious note, I mean, it's so good that Sheffield United stick with Chris Wilder. Without that manager, they would still be League One. And so Chris Wilder, I so respect him. And great result, Brown. Very happy for him today. And he is Sheffield United, Craig. Don't say United all the time.
Jan, what's the future of Jovic? With him already scoring since returning to Frankfurt, can they afford to keep him beyond this year? I can't imagine Real Madrid suddenly wanting him back for the 21-22 season, as long as Zidane is the manager.
Well, I think that you can compare him with Martin Ødegaard. They've done the same thing. They have gone to Eintracht Frankfurt. Luka Jovic was there. He was there doing great for them. He has been scoring 3 goals now in 3 games, coming on as a sub. Still, they want him back. And I said, Freddy Bobic, maybe you, Craig, played against him, striker for Germany. He's a great head of sport that Frankfurt. He knows that he can use him now, and then he will probably go back in the summer, as will Martin Ødegaard. Then we'll see they take it from there. But I think it's a good strategy to give him some confidence. And wow, Wild, he is doing great for them with André Silva on top for Eintracht Frankfurt.
See, I don't stick up for Scottish people like Jan sticks up for Norwegians, you know what I mean?
Is Luka Jovic Norwegian?
Yeah, Jovic isn't Norwegian.
No, I'm back at Solskjaer. he's not going to talk. He's going to get all these Twitter friends on to me.
You're the one who brought up Neil Lennon.
No, because
he's Scottish, that's right. Right, no, final question.
Because he's what?
Because he's Scottish.
Who is?
Neil Lennon. Oh, he's Irish, isn't he?
He's from Northern Ireland, you complete plum.
I know, that's true.
Damn it, Dan. God, what an absolute plum you are.
You thought of John Lennon, he is Norwegian.
Should we read? Tell you what, let's redo the whole segment. That's it. Start again.
Don't start again. And you rubbish Scottish football.
Sorry?
You rubbish Scottish football as well, and you rubbish Celtic. I didn't. Well, I've spent 20 years doing that.
Craig, is the weather
worse? It's good to have an argument now and again, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It's
because
nice...
every time we have an argument with Don, he crumbles.
Why are you bringing Don up?
Well, he crumbles, doesn't he? He goes, all right. Whoever it is, it doesn't have to be me. It can be somebody else. He goes, Don, you're wrong. And he'll go, all right, you're right. You're right. I'm wrong.
Don forgets what he says half the time. Is the weather worse in the UK or Connecticut? What a random question at the end.
Oh, my God. I mean, we might get some heavy snow here in Connecticut, but at least we get 5 months at least of really warm weather.
Yes.
That we can go and play golf.
Right then.
Well, I do. You can't.
That is it. We're done. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we've got to go because Jan's got tea with Solskjaer.
Yeah, Jan's got a FaceTime with Solskjaer. Craig with Neil Lennon.
Yeah, tell him. Go and tell him.
Craig, when you're on your way out, if you find that real Craig Burley, can you just tell him to come to the studio tomorrow?
Yes, the nice guy. Yeah, the nice guy.
Thought Claudio Ranieri got dragged into all of that. Thank you very much, guys. ESPN FC, back on your screens tomorrow.
The managerial nomad.
What's he ever done? Spurs against Liverpool. Join us.